This morning, I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 145, verses, and we'll read verses 1 to 7. Psalm 145, verses 1 to 7. I'll be reading from the New International Version. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. You know, in these verses that we are reading here today from Psalm 145, we are encouraged to celebrate the great truth of who God is. Verses 1 to 3 not only indicate that we have a knowledge of God, but that we recognize his worth and we are eager to worship and acknowledge him with our lips and with our life. This is not new information to most of us in this room today, but it is a reminder. Sometimes we get so weighed down with the questions of the day and the needs of the hour that we forget that every day is a day to praise God with awareness and with conviction and with enthusiasm. One writer noted that all who know God are bound to tell of him. All who know God are bound to tell of him. It's going to come out. It's because it's who we are when we truly know who he is. We may be eager to know about and talk about sports and about many other things, but the foundation of our day as disciples of Jesus Christ should be anchored in our personal sense of awe and thanksgiving in who God is. Each day is a new day to celebrate that we are being loved by God, loving him and finding strength and courage in the knowledge of God. And that knowledge of God leads to a responsibility. In each generation, we should not only know Jesus, we need to pass on the knowledge and experiences we have seen and heard of God at work. And when we do that, the next generation will also be able to hear and understand and tell the news to their generation and also prepare for the following generation. As I thought of this earlier this morning, I have had the great privilege in my own life that I know when my grandparents, Grandpa and Granny Smart, as we called them, when they came to personal knowledge of who Jesus Christ was, and when they came to a personal commitment to him. And I had this. I can say the same of my grandparents on my mother's side, the Walkers. And it is a privilege for me as a grandson to be able to not only know these things but to be passing them on to others. And in a larger way, we as a church have that same privilege and responsibility together to keep passing on the message of who Jesus is and what he offers to each one of us. In 2002, the Bethel Church leadership had been examining the health needs of this local church. And I became the pastor here in August of 2002. And in this fall and winter, or rather that fall and winter, our sermon studies were about qualities that help us to be healthy as a church family. And we also took time to examine the key points of the mission statement of the church. And we became more aware of who we are and of things we needed to remember and to change. And we were able to focus on the goals that were most important. One of the results was that as we became more active in our sense of purpose, others also came and the church began to grow in numbers. And that's why you see the facility you see here today. We had a wonderful facility and a wonderful congregation, and we met in an older building just over where the education wing sits now. But as we continue to pursue the purposes and the principles that we should be aiming for, the church began to grow, and we're very grateful for the way we've had opportunity to serve together. And that was 19 years ago, over 19 years ago. And one generation is said to be 25 years. Many young folks have been born to church families. Others have come to be part of this local fellowship. And as we read in Psalm 145, let's look again at verses 4 to 7. It says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And you know, we need to be actively passing on a knowledge and awareness that is based on a proper biblical understanding about why Bethel Church exists and why it exists today and how we should move forward. Verse 4 says, one generation tells the next generation about God's works so that they can also tell of God's mighty acts. What should the next generation be able to know and speak of? Well, verse 5, God's character. Verse 6, God's power. Verse 7, God's goodness. And all of these things change our outlook on the world around us and give us joy. Now, on most other Sundays, I would then go on to expand about those three things that we speak of, God's character, God's power, and God's goodness. But today, we're going to present some thoughts from ministerial members regarding an updated mission statement for our church. It's been a joint effort by the ministerial council, and it does not replace principles that we've been following, but it can help us to remember and refocus on what it means to be the church. And these men will be joining me in the conversation as we consider the purpose statement and four anchors that should be part of our lives and our focus as a church family. And we'll talk about the four anchors in more detail in the four Sundays to follow. And Keith Gislason will be leading this portion of our learning time today. And on the back of your bulletin, you will find the mission statement and the 4 points, and they will also be on the screen. So we're going to ask the gentleman to come as we talk together about how do we do this from generation to generation and keeping a biblical perspective and goal.
Good morning. While those two are getting set up, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith Gislason. I'm sure you know these gentlemen, Gerald, Pastor Mark, Pastor Randy. Evan Taves was also going to join us today, but he wasn't feeling well, so we wish that he would feel better, and we'll go on without him. up on the screen, you can see the purpose statement, which Pastor Mark talked about last week. And today we're just going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be focusing on the next couple weeks, and we're going to talk a little bit about what our expectations as a church are. Just to start us off, Gerald, first question is, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this now?
All right, as Pastor Randy mentioned already, it was back in 2002 when the church last looked at the vision and the mission statement of Bethel. And although we've been reminded of that over the years in various ways, through messages and other ways, we felt that it was time to take a look at it again and just to see what was happening in our church today and how we can best meet the needs of the community in the time to come. It is good to occasionally look at where we are going as a church. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Do these things line up with the direction that we want to be going in? Are they accomplishing that which God has for us? We not only want to do these things that we are called to do as a church, but we want to be intentional in carrying out that which we are called to do. And why now? Vision planning for Bethel has been several years in the making. And because of various things going on in the church in the last while, the restrictions that we've been facing, we felt it was not the right time yet to move forward on that. But now we feel the time has come. The world around us, with all that's happening there, we as a church just need to refocus. We need to be a light, reaching out to those that do not know Jesus. We need to bring hope to a world that lives in hopelessness. And so we feel it's time to move forward.
Thanks, Gerald. Mark, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how this was developed, what the process looked like, where it came from.
Yeah, sure. Like was already mentioned, this has taken a number of years to kind of work through. And I think we brought it up at Ministerial Committee probably way back, I think in 2018, is the first time when we kind of mentioned it there. We didn't move on it right away. We sort of let it, we just kind of let it percolate for a little bit. Spend time in prayer about it as to how best to kind of go about this. And so I think one of the clear things is that this isn't an action that we're taking simply because of some of the changes that restrictions and COVID and all the rest has brought in. This was long in the works before that. And so in 2020 is when we sort of decided as a ministerial to really let's start working on it. And so we struck up a little bit of a subcommittee, and at that time when Jim Court was still worshiping together with us, then he was kind of heading some of that up. So Jim was explaining that to us at Ministerial. We were having some discussions about it, and then we decided, well, we wanted this to be something that was shared, and so we decided to set up a little bit of a smaller subcommittee within Ministerial and also with Church Council. So within Ministerial, we set up, if I'm remembering right, Jim Court, and then later that baton got passed over to Keith, and Keith has kind of been spearheading that and leading us through some of that, which we're very thankful for. But the two of them were involved, Pastor Randy, myself, Gerald Thiessen from Ministerial, and then from Council, Evan Taves, Jack Peters, and Peter Clausen. We're also, we worked together with them, and I may be forget, hopefully I'm not forgetting anyone else that was on that committee, but so we worked together and went through some drafts and some lots of discussion and prayer about how it is that we wanted to kind of share that and what are some of the key statements and attributes. And then it went back to Ministerial. We discussed it more in detail there. It got shared at Council. So it sort of went back and forth to the different committees a number of times before we kind of got things down to the statement that you'll see in front of you now. And again, the process is looking like we are continuing on as well. We don't have a finished document for everything here, but we're excited to share with you what we have at this point.
Thanks, Mark. So, Randy, I know some of us may have been at churches where someone would stand up and say, we plan to have a certain number of attendees, or we want to plant a certain number of churches, or things like that. Why are we doing things differently here?
Well, we have not set up a projection, say we hope to have this many people, new people, additional people in church by a certain time, because we've always had the emphasis that it's more about helping each individual here to grow in their faith, to be equipped, to be empowered. Empowered meaning that you don't just when the pastor does something that's the only answer. We in our Sunday school, in our Awana, we've tried to give opportunity that people could have ideas and they could be considered and they would be utilized. And so we've tried to promote that kind of equipping and empowering. When we work together, God will do the growing. God will multiply according to His time and by the Spirit. And our job is to be faithful with the opportunities and the situations that He's given us for this time. So we want to be equipping, we want to be empowering people to serve. And as you are effective and feeling like you have an understanding of why, then we will all benefit together.
Yeah, thank you. Up on the screen, you can see we've got these four attributes or anchors that we're going to be focusing on for the next little while. Mark, can you tell me a little bit about these?
Yeah, we sort of thought, again, instead of putting out, a 20-page document for everyone and we're not going to remember all those details, we want to keep it really simple. That's why we want that really simple statement, right, to that overarching purpose, that is to make and develop disciples locally and around the world. So that's the overarching theme. And then these are sort of the four, if you're going to say, kind of pillars underneath that or big statements that we want to kind of be working on what that is. So rooted in the Bible, transforming lives, being honest and authentic, and missionally focused. So those are the four main points, and we think that those four main points are there to help guide us. Those are main points that we should be having for a healthy church, to maintain a healthy church, but then also for any church that is going to be growing. We feel like these are really, really key foundational things. So we had a lot of discussion about these points, and seeing each one of them as being really fundamental and very, very important.
Thank you. We'll just briefly talk about each of them and what they mean. Randy, do you want to briefly talk about what it means to be rooted in the Bible?
Yeah. This is a subject precious to my heart, and we do not want to be occupied with our own opinions, but we want to be trying to be carefully studying Scripture principles that can give us the guidance we need for daily life, not only in the life of our local church here, but in your life at home. And I can remember a story of another place and time when a gentleman and a family had difficulties, and the man came to talk to me about it. He says, "But Randy, you may think I haven't been listening for the last 7 years, but I want you to know this is what I did." And then he outlined how he took steps to try and help that family situation. So our goal is that we're teaching principles from Scripture that are accurate and helpful, and not only something we can know, but you can also practice where you live. And so rooted in the Bible is very important. It gives us, equips us for every area of life. In 2 Timothy 2:2, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy that it was really important not to teach good people who will teach other people. Keep passing on the knowledge of the things that you have been learning. And that's really, really important. And I get the chance to talk about this subject for a half hour next week.
You have the whole service.
I have
the... I'm looking forward to it. Next one, Gerald, can you tell us about transforming lives and what that means?
All right. When I look at transforming lives, we see that we're passionate to see the message of the gospel change people's hearts and transform lives. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And when I look at my own life, I see that the message of the cross, the message of Jesus Christ, has changed my life. And I've seen it change other people's lives as well. And so that is exciting. And as a church, my prayer is that as a church, we look to seeing lives being changed. We look to seeing lives being transformed, lives being renewed in Jesus Christ. And so that is our goal and our aim with transforming lives.
Thanks, Gerald. Mark, you get the both easiest and most difficult one, in my opinion. It's really both.
All right. So being honest and authentic. You've heard me mention numerous times probably in just in regular talk and also in some sermons, to be real. And really, this is what I mean when I say to be real, is to be honest and to be authentic, to support each other, to encourage honesty through good times as well as through bad, to live authentic lives with a purpose, again, with the purpose of spreading the gospel. And I think the reality is that we don't like things that are fake. Right? We don't want to be, if I'm going to use the term, we don't want to be plastic. We don't want to enter into these doors and kind of paint this picture to make sure, to make it look like that everything is perfect, that everything is sterile, that everything is great. We want to paint this picture to say we want to be very real. And as part of being real, we do certain things already in our services in which we encourage that. Our time of prayer and of sharing is exactly part of that. We want you to be able to come up and to share, and I know that's a very difficult thing to do sometimes from the platform over here, but that's why we really encourage you to be involved in smaller groups in smaller areas, whether that be in Sunday school classes, in Awana, in youth, care groups, and you're going to hear a lot about care groups in the next while, because we really believe that care groups is a great place in which we want it to be exactly what the title is. It's a care group. It is not just a Bible study group. Yes, we want the scriptures to be studied there, but we want it to be more than that. We don't want it just to be education and knowledge about something. We want it to be a place in which you can go and you can be sharing. You can be sharing your victories and your mountaintop experiences, and so that we can praise and worship and give thanks together and celebrate that. You know, one of the celebration things that we're able to do just a couple of days ago that Irma and I were able to do with Greg and Allison is that Allison Heeson, who we've been praying for and has gone through a long journey with treatments, is done her treatments. And so being able to meet together and to praise God for that, we want to be very real. We want to be authentic. That's what the New Testament, that's what Scripture shows us, is to be very, very real. To be going through those difficult times. And yes, right now within our community, in our area, it is a difficult time. Let's be real about that. But let's remember that, again, that we're rooted in the Bible as well, so that we're learning from that. So we really want our lives to be open, honest, and authentic, and we want to encourage that in our small groups where we can maybe do that more intently, but also for us as a whole congregation as well. So I think it's just a really key point that that is one that we'll probably never get perfectly right, but we want to keep working through.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. The last of the four is being missional focused. I'll read what's on the screen. It says, outward looking and meeting people where they are. We want to demonstrate the love of God and share the truth, that is the gospel, in our daily interactions with our community, our country, and around the world. Really what this means is if our purpose as of a church is making disciples, we want to make sure that everything we do, our whole posture, every step we take, whether it's individuals, as a group, is focused on being on mission. And we want to learn how to do that better together and how to reach those, whether it's across the road, whether it's other side of town or somewhere else in Manitoba, or whether it's supporting or sending people all over the world. We want to make sure that's our focus, and that's where everything comes back to. So, Mark, one of the questions we always get, or we got a lot originally, was does this replace what we had before?
No, well, certainly does not replace. And I think we have to always be careful when we're sort of casting a vision that people, we don't say that this is a brand new vision. It's not new. This is something like was already mentioned before. The Church of Bethel Church has worked through this a number of times. And so this isn't erasing what was done in the past. This is actually building upon it. We're so grateful for the visionaries and for the vision that has been put forward to our congregation in years past. And we simply want to continue to build it. This is sort of like just hitting that reset button. It's not erasing the things that we had done in the past. Again, those five E's that you've heard us talk about over the last number of years, we're still going to be mentioning those because we see those as really fundamental as to how to bring about these four attributes. So to exalt Christ, to be equipped for service, to edify one another, to evangelize the lost, and to extend Christ's love. Those are things that we want to continue to do. So by no means is this kind of saying, well, this is completely new. A lot of this is going to be, you're going to say, well, if you've attended here, I've heard this before. Yes, you probably have, and I hope you have. And this is just continuing to build on it. Yes, there's some points that maybe we're going to emphasize a little bit more than we have in the past. Maybe there's other programs and things that we're going to do that maybe looked a little different than in the past. We don't really know exactly what that's all going to look like. But we want to continue to build off of what has been done in the past. And this is sort of a chance for us to just be renewed, be excited about it, and to look forward as to what the future looks like.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Gerald, next question's for you. Where do we go next? Are we done?
Well, for those of you that were in the adult Sunday school class this morning, we talked about gaining knowledge. And is that all that this is? We've just gained a bunch of knowledge, now we put it in the back burner and just leave it there and not do anything more? The short and quick answer is no, we are not finished. There's much more to it. This is just the beginning. What this looks like in the days, weeks, and years to come has not been determined. The actions that hopefully will come out of this is still to be determined, and it will be exciting to see. We believe that God has great things in store for us as a church as we prayerfully and faithfully move forward And as we continue to desire to follow his leading, we believe that God will show us where we need to improve on, and we believe that God will direct us to new opportunities to reach out to the world that needs Jesus Christ. And we want all of you to be involved in this process. We want all of you to think of ideas, think of ways, think of actions that that we can do as a church, that we can move together to fulfill the Great Commission that God has laid out for us. And so, yes, we're looking to continue this process in the days, weeks, and years to come.
Thanks, Charles. Starting next week, we're going to be going through, actually, I should back up. Last week, Pastor Mark had preached on the purpose statement, and we're taking today to kind of explain what's going on. And the next 4 weeks, the pastors are going to go through these four items in more depth, explore each one and what it means for us and for our church. We already mentioned care groups quite a bit, so those of you that are in care groups, many of you will be following along in a study that was created to kind of talk through this in a smaller group and discuss and get actions coming out of it. We're going to be asking committees and council to reflect on what they do as they plan for the next year and how this affects them, if it does. It may or it may not. We're not sure, and we're excited to see what happens. But Mark, someone who's listening to this today, what are we asking them to do?
Well, I think number one, we want you to be part of it. And we talked a little bit about, being involved in some other areas. But number one is to be in prayer. We just really ask you to be in prayer as we continue to work on not just the documentation and what this wording looks like, but much more than that, be in prayer for us to be unified. And number one, that this is God's plan, right? Not ours. This isn't coming from just a small little group or from us as pastors or whatever. But we want this to be owned by the entire congregation, and a huge role of that is prayer. So we ask for you to be praying for us in leadership that maybe are working on some of the details of what this looks like. Be in prayer for our committees, for our care groups, and so on. Be in prayer for us as a whole church for unity as well. Because you can set a vision, but if people haven't latched onto that vision, if they don't look at it and say, this is something that we want, the vision dies very, very quickly. We don't want that to happen. And we want this to be God's vision for us, and realizing that we may not have all the answers right away, but we want to continue to work through that. So we just really encourage you to be in prayer for that. We've already talked about, again, at committee levels and care group levels, and at those places, we're able to kind of talk more detail. We realize that within a larger congregation, we may be, we're not setting up mics for you to come and be going to have all these different questions raised, because we think it works way more effectively if you can ask the questions either directly to us on, not just those of us on stage, but to anyone on ministerial and council. Feel free to ask the questions, and then also to be talking about that within smaller groups, because that's probably an area in which it's really going to gain a whole lot more traction. So we really want to encourage that to take place as well. So, and also within the committee level. So we're looking for your feedback. We're looking for your ideas as we continue to see exactly how we're going to be able to implement this. And also, we're looking for your skills, right? We're gifted in numerous different areas. We're going to need all kinds of different skills and your passion to be able to be a part of what this is. And like I say, it's not like we're reinventing the wheel, but rather this is kind of a time in which we can hit that reset button. And I'm just really excited about what God has in store for us in the present, as well as moving forward as we give thanks to what God has done in the past. And just really excited about what that can look like. And hopefully we can all feel a part of that as a family of believers.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. We're both excited, and I at least for me, a little bit nervous about where this is going to take us, because we don't have all the answers laid out. Our goal is that, our hope is that you guys will see the needs in our community and how we can work better together, and our prayer is that we as a church can put resources behind those that are the ideas that come up and the things where we see God is able to work in our community. We're going to plan to review this on a regular basis going forward. Depends what comes out of it, and it depends where we go. So, it's a little bit less planned than some of us would like, but we're trusting God. We're trusting that as a congregation that God will lead us in where we want to go. On the back of your bulletin, you see there was the four attributes there, so you have that. There are papers in the back as well with the brief descriptions that were here, if you want to pick some of those up on your way out. We already mentioned the care groups will be going through this, but if I speak for all of us up here, I know, including Evan, who's here with us, if even not in person. We're welcome to take any feedback, questions, comments. We want this to be a discussion. I'm sure that anybody on council and ministerial will also be happy to discuss with you if you have anything that comes up. So with that, I think we're done for today. Mm-hmm. And we'll call the worship team up. And thank you for all of your thoughts and prayers in advance.